This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off we go into hour number three of the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment, the Rob Brown Show. Right here on the Fan Upstate, I am Rob Brown, the great Malonzo, on the ones and the twos this AM. As we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we take a short little road trip right on over to Columbia, South Carolina. And we welcome in a young lady who covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. The lovely Lulu Kesson joins us here on the radio broadcast. Good morning, Lulu. Welcome back.
Good morning. It's actually a longer trip because I'm in Birmingham, Alabama this morning.
That's right.
It's a confusing 7 a.m. for me. I was thrown remembering what time to set my alarms for the show because obviously y'all are still in Eastern time, but you, I'm here. I made it.
You could have said, screw you, Rob Brown, it's too early, I'm not doing that, and I would have totally understood.
Yeah, but my parents would have been very disappointed.
Okay. I get that. Upsetting Mama Lulu Kesson is not the way to start off a Thursday. I'm good with that. Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. All right, I got to ask you this before we get into basketball, and we will here in just a minute. The Gamecocks set to take on the Maryland Terrapins tonight in some Sweet 16 action down there in Birmingham, Alabama. Lulu, FanDuel just put out their list of the 10 most interesting Major League Baseball ballpark foods that are debuting this year, and I want to ask, which of them are you most interested in taking a road trip to go with? The filthy macaroni and cheese fries of the Diamondbacks, where they threw like cheddar mac and cheese and pork belly and onions on top of Cajun fries. The Pittsburgh Polish cannonballs, which are deep-fried balls of egg noodles, kielbasa, cabbage bacon, and cheddar cheese. The warehouse burger of the Orioles, which is just like a huge-ass cheeseburger with onion rings and queso and more on top of a pretzel bun. The celebration cake milkshake of the White Sox, which is a birthday cake, ice cream, confetti cake, pinwheel cookie, and cherry on top milkshake. The Daddy Mac dog of the Astros, which is a footlong ballpark dog with a bunch of barbecue joint appetizers on top. The Royals blue velvet whoopie pies, which apparently is like a big thing in KC. It's like a soft cookie with icing in the middle. The helmet tiramisu of the New York Yankees. The s'mores quesadillas of the Philadelphia Phillies, the What Up Corn Dog of the Seattle Mariners, which is a corn dog that they use food dye to dye Mariners blue, or the Cotton Candy Fries of the Toronto Blue Jays, which are French fries with cotton candy on top of them. Which one is Lulu Kesson roadieing for the food?
Despite being a Massachusetts native, I'm going to go Yankees, the tiramisu helmet here. I did see a picture of that, and it just looked really, really good. But if I had to go savory, I think I'd do the burger. But I'm not a picky eater, but I don't always love the most, like, wild, like, a bunch of flavors in one thing. Or I guess, like, I do like a lot of flavors. But, like, the Polish cannon, the little, like, Polish things, those might be good. But, like, I don't like a crazy hot dog or anything like that.
See, I'm down with a crazy hot dog. The Polish cannonballs, I think it's all about whatever dip's coming with it, right? Like, it's all about what are we dipping the cannonballs into here. Based on the picture, it looks like they're just serving it with, like, some ranch dressing, which I guess could be okay. Like, I want a little Chipotle or something
in there. By the way, the candy cotton fries is just weird.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't
everything
like that.
Else sounds good. That's just, so they just put the candy cotton on top of,
yeah.
I mean, can't. You know what I'm saying.
Cotton candy on top of French fries.
I don't know what I'm saying, but yeah, cotton candy.
They have some kind of like weird like candy sauce on top of them. I'm like you, Lulu Kesson. Like I like variety. I like mixing and matching flavors in a meal. But like salty French fries and sugary syrup on top doesn't feel like the way to go. But I do dip my Wendy's fries into my chocolate frosty. So maybe I'm a psycho. I don't know.
I was about to say I do love dipping French fries in a milkshake when I get the chance.
Yeah. It's tough. We're gonna have to spin this around a little bit. Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, kind enough to get up an hour earlier to join us from Birmingham, Alabama, as that is where tomorrow night's Sweet 16 matchup will emanate with the Gamecocks of South Carolina taking on the Maryland Terrapins. That game's gonna be at 5 p.m. at Legacy Arena. Let me start with this, Lulu Kesson. Just what's the vibe of the squad right now? This was a team that had a couple of shots during the regular season where you're like, oh, man, I don't know where they're going to be at. But then they go on a tear through the SEC tournament. No problem in the opening two rounds of the NCAA tournament. What's the attitude of the squad right now?
Vibes are good. I definitely think they want another chance to have a better first half. Not that they feel lucky to move on based on how they played against Indiana, but I think there's a lot of excitement to play even better than they did the last time and definitely build off of what happened, I would say, probably last Friday in the first round versus Tennessee Tech versus Sunday against Indiana. But overall, they seem incredibly excited to play.
It's a spot for the Gamecocks where, Lulu Kesson, in those last couple of weeks, out of the regular season, into the SEC tournament, into the national championship tournament, there were some things that you pointed out that you thought were maybe weak points in the game or areas for improvement. I know rebounding was one of them. I know finding some depth off the bench was one. And since then, we've seen an improvement. Chloe Kitts has looked a lot more comfortable cleaning up the glass. You've seen some players like Joyce Edwards coming off the bench and start to get 12 and 13 point games and make sure that those backup runs, the twos on the floor together, weren't net negatives. It seems like they cleaned up a lot of the issues, but obviously the competition's only going to get tougher from here to the path for another natty. What would you say is the difference between the team that has been on a, what, 5-6 game heater lately versus that team that was getting blown out at the crib by UConn?
So I think that I've all season in general, I've been kind of critical or just hyper aware of how the starters perform on offense because Don very early on said something along the lines of, you know, the guards just aren't connected right now and I don't know why. And I've sort of looked at that as the starting five as a whole. And I was incredibly impressed with the way that the starters dug South Carolina out of a hole on Sunday when they were down against Indiana. You know, most, I believe all five starters played around 30 minutes. Mylesia Fulwiley, who's one of the best players and most, you know, dominant scorers, she played, I think, 9. Like, there was a clear kind of nod of trust from Don to amplify the work that the starters had been doing in that game. And I appreciated the chance to see sort of the starters, I guess, carry. And so I think that's a major difference, is maybe in that UConn game, they're still kind of dependent on, okay, Joyce and Mylasia are coming off the bench and they're our main scorers. Whereas now it seems like everybody, I don't want to say everyone wants to contribute, because I don't necessarily want to claim it was a desire thing, but the visible sort of like, I can score, I can be the one to score, we can all score, is, I would say, just up a notch since that UConn loss.
We are talking to Lulu Kessin, covers the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Joins us every single Thursday at 8 a.m. to do just that. Give me your thoughts on this Maryland team. They go to an absolutely electric OT win over Alabama. I'm looking at the ESPN preview of this game. They're giving the Gamecocks like a 93% chance to win this game. And I think that is, that's the easy way to look at it. South Carolina is a 17.5-point favorite in this. And you'd like to think it's a cruise for Dawn Staley's Gamecocks, but it's March, Lulu Kessin. It's called madness for a reason. What is, if anything goes wrong and Maryland can make this a good competition, what is that one thing?
Free throws. They're the number two team in the country in free throws and making free throws, getting to the line. So if this becomes a close game, South Carolina has to realize that Maryland could simply win it on the line. They don't have to have the most perfect and fluid offense if they just bait South Carolina into fouling them. And I think that's something to look at. Maryland was down 17 at one point to Alabama and came back. And then a lot of what pulled ahead in double overtime was free throw shooting. But Maryland, you know, they have a lot of grit. They have a lot of heart. They're a talented physical team. They play, in my opinion, kind of similar to South Carolina in some regards. So I think that South Carolina needs to understand that down 20, down 5, like, this Maryland team clearly is not going to go away easily.
I don't disagree with you, and I actually think that's a really good take. I completely agree with you, I guess, is the better way to phrase that. I would also point out that this Maryland team, as Alabama learned in that OT loss, this Maryland team can score, Lulu Kessin. Like, they're an 81-point-a-game team. They are scoring 23 points more per game than South Carolina has allowed. Now, obviously, that's including the games where South Carolina has just played bad basketball teams, and Maryland is not a bad basketball team at 25-7. My other cause, or my other policy I would have for Dawn Staley here is, you better play gritty defense underneath and do not allow Maryland to get into any sort of rhythm, because this does feel like a game where if Maryland comes out hot earlier, they're efficient with the offense, they're knocking down field goals. This is the type of team that can shock you with a 14-2, a 16-3 run early, and even though you're a 15-point favorite, now you find yourself down 15 early and you're having to scrap back from that. That would be my big thing, is defense at the three-point line, and do not let them get uncomfortable setting the pace of this game.
Right. No, that's a great point. And I do think that South Carolina sometimes fails to understand that they can really scare teams when they set a pace, when they set a flow, when they set a tone. And so making sure that Maryland isn't the first one to do so, I think, will be especially key, as you said, on offense.
Lulu Kessin joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. If we are looking at this game, and let's just say we're looking at it as a win for the sake of the conversation, Lulu Kessin, it would look that next up you would get the winner of UNC and Duke, a little ACC rivalry between two very good basketball schools, the 2 seed and the 3 seed. Is there a matchup, whether it's Duke or North Carolina, whether it's Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, or TCU, and how about Texas and Tennessee on the bottom half of that bracket, meaning either one of them could be a Final Four test? Who is the biggest threat to prevent South Carolina from making it to another national championship game? Is it one of the two teams up top, Duke and North Carolina? Is it Texas, Tennessee, Notre Dame, TCU down in the bottom half?
You know, it's so tricky because South Carolina's played so many of those teams before, with the exception of Notre Dame. I do think that Notre Dame would likely give South Carolina the biggest issue just because they have three really great scorers. South Carolina has proven they can shut down, you know, a Madison Booker, Michaela Blake, you know, they can handle things pretty well when there's one, maybe two max dominant scorers, but with the kind of lethal trio of Hidalgo, Miles, and Citron that Notre Dame presents, I think that they would potentially give South Carolina the biggest issue.
Lulu Kessin joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk basketball. All right, Lulu, what are we expecting tomorrow night? The final score, you don't have to give me exact, but like ballpark, is this a team that can cover up 17.5, or does South Carolina kind of maybe pull back the accelerator a little bit?
No, I don't think it'll. I think I published like a final score around, like, it might have been like somewhere between 12. Like, I would be shocked if it was a quote unquote blowout, but I also don't think that South Carolina likes to play close games. I think they recognize that when they can step on the gas and extend the score, they will. So I don't think it'll be a 2-point win. But I think it might be maybe a single digit or 12 max.
Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Kind enough to join us every Thursday at 8 a.m., unless you're in Birmingham, Alabama, in which case it's 7 a.m., which makes it even more compassionate of her to get up an hour earlier to talk with us. Lulu, you are the best. I appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Yeah, hopefully I'm calling you guys from Tampa next week. So I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good weekend.
Listen, Ybor City in Tampa, that's the spot. All right? That's the only good thing about Tampa is Ybor City. Go ahead and write that down, Y-B-O-R, and thank me when you get back.
Okay, sounds good.
Lulu Kessin, appreciate her time as always. You can follow her on X at Lulu Kessin, K-E-S-I-N. On the X, if you're a Gamecock fan, you are going to want to be followed because she is embedded with the squad down in Birmingham, Alabama. Will be covering up to and through the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the National Championship should Dawn and the gals make it to the top. When we come back here in a minute, your audio blitz. And we've got some interesting ones to get to. We'll do that next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, I had to upload some audio. Let's see if it still works. Yeah, we're good. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is time for the audio blitz. We got Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joining us in the next segment. So we're going to sprint through some of the best audio we found over the past 24 hours. We start with this one, Rob Manfred, a day after Aaron Boone said on a national podcast that he believed the automatic balls and strikes are bad, which is incorrect, but that's another debate for another time. Rob Manfred yesterday afternoon on the eve of Major League Baseball's opening day was asked what the feedback has been about the ABS system. You're getting ABS, people. You're getting ABS, and I'll tell you why I think you're getting ABS. Rob Manfred's job as the commissioner of the Major League Baseball organization, just like Roger Goodell's with the NFL, just like Gary Bettman's with the NHL, just like Adam Silver's with the NBA, his job is to figure out a way to communicate what the owners want to happen. If Rob Manfred comes out and says, hey, the feedback was positive, it's a little rough around the edges, of course it was, this is the first time we've done this at this level with this intensity, but the feedback has been generally positive. That is telling me that, to me, the owners like what they saw. The owners are on board with what they saw, and therefore you are going to end up getting ABS in regular season game. Now, will it be on a challenge system? Will it end up being full-time? I don't know. What I do know is it's a step-by-step process, and this sounds like step one, the baby step out of the gate, was something that the owners like and are on board with, which means I do think you are getting it in the long term. Dan Morgan, GM of the Carolina Panthers, was speaking yesterday as NFL teams are starting to put their draft plans together 28 days until the NFL draft. Well, the Carolina Panthers have recently signed Dallas Cowboy vet Rico Dowdle, former South Carolina Gamecock, who I am scheduled to interview today at 1 o'clock. If that does come through, we'll play it for you tomorrow on the show. However, there was another running back in Charlotte, North Carolina by the name of Chuba Hubbard. Dan Morgan was asked how he believes these two guys will coexist. Nothing that I'm shocked by. I mean, checks out. Rico wants to run hard. He's also a good pass-catching running back. You all know what Chuba Hubbard is. You've been watching since he showed up from the Oklahoma State Cowboys a couple of years ago. I will ask Rico Dowdle today his thoughts on sharing a backfield with Chuba Hubbard. But TBH, I'm pretty honest. I'm pretty excited about it, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm excited to see what these two guys look like. Joey B just popped on the stream and said, two guys, neither of them may even be the starter. They still got last year's second-round pick on the roster, too. Yeah, but I think they are, Joey B. I think here's the thing. I don't think you will have a true RB1 on this team. I think you're going to have Dowdle and Chuba with the majority of the calls going running back by committee. That's going to be my bet, is those two guys are going to get the majority of the carries via running back by committee. But you do have John Brooks. He's obviously coming off that knee injury. I don't think they're going to be in any hustle to get John Brooks out there. But I would also point out John Brooks, 6'2", 207, probably going to slot in more as the finesse back. And with Dan Morgan and Dave Canales calling the personnel setup and the offense, I think Lonzo's going to get his wish, and I think this is going to be a physically mauling running team this year. John Brooks will be the change of pace guy. That's just my guess. We'll talk to Rico Dowdle about that coming up this afternoon. Couple more clips I wanted to get to. Here is WWE superstar CM Punk. He was on the Celtic Warrior YouTube show with Sheamus, where they do stupid workouts because they're big and they get paid for it. And Sheamus and CM Punk got to starting talking about their playlist. HOTTOGO.
So I saw this and I'm like, okay, he's gonna find a way to work this in, because that's his girl, and you did.
You can take me high to go. Chapel slaps. Slaps. Now, I will say this. I hate to say this. I think she's kind of starting to get a little diva-ish on me. All right? A little diva-ish. But at the same time, it's kind of like, so are the divas, right? Like Celine, Cher, Madonna.
Are you really comparing this newcomer to all those people?
I'm talking about her potential. I think Chapel's got potential to join the One Name Club. I think she's got potential to join the Shania. She's got the potential to join the One Name Club. She's well on her way, in my opinion. She's taken the world by storm. So the question mark is, will she get there before the diva attitude becomes too much for where she is on the success scale? If she gets to the top of the success scale, then the diva attitude, it becomes something that we all go, slay, queen, slay, slay. Oh, where's my clip? Queen. We all start looking and going, with Chapel Roan. But if she's got megastars like me and Phil Brooks in her camp, seems like she's doing okay. Doing all right. Here's a clip that comes from the New Heights podcast. I don't need to set it up because you'll get the full context in the clip. What? It is.
No. No one does this. Really?
Yes.
Really? Because then you don't know the amount of cereal you're pouring into the bowl. That's the main thing.
Let's be honest here. Number one, he's right. Like, I know one person who makes their cereal this way.
Really?
I know one person who makes the cereal this way. I'm not married to that person, just so
okay. We're clear. Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm glad you pointed that out.
I'm not married to this person. The wife is a cereal, then milk. And for all the reasons that Travis and Jason of the New Heights podcast there correctly said so, it's because I use the milk to make sure. Texter just said, I 100% put the cereal in second because I don't like soggy cereal. How does that prevent the cereal from getting soggy? It ends up in the same place. If I put the cereal in and then I pour the milk over the top, I can make sure that every piece of cereal is contacted by the milk and has the same consistency. If I put the milk in first, then the cereal on the top is going to stay crunchy and milkless, and the cereal at the bottom is going to be in the milk longer and soggier. If your argument is I don't like soggy cereal, then you are 100% doing it backwards. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, this is finally a food take you and I completely agree on. I've never in my life thought that there was a person out there who would put the milk in first. I didn't think that. I think it's just you come out of the womb and you know the cereal goes in first, and then you put the milk in.
Listen, there are things. We've made the joke that's not a joke before about how every guy instinctively understands which urinal to use when you're in a bathroom and there's multiple urinals. You all know which one to go to. If there's five and there's a guy in the middle, you go to the one on either the far right or the far left. If there's five and there's a guy on the far right, you go to the far left. If there's five and there's a guy at the second one in on the right, you go to the far one on the left. If there's two guys, one on both ends, you go to the middle. We all know the rules. You're never taught the rules. You never go to the bathroom with Pops and he's like, all right, it's guy there, which one do you go to, son? And you go, I don't know, Dad, which one do I go to? You go to that one because of spacing. You never get taught that. It's just an instinctive set of rules. There is something deeply embedded in our DNA that tells us that you stand up urinals, which one of the ones to go to. This to me feels like that. There are absolutely some dudes out there that do not understand the rules of the bleeper, the rules of the bathroom etiquette. And I have been in restrooms before where I'm like, I'm on the one on the far right, which is closest to the door. And guy rolls in, there's five, and he uses the one next to me. And I'm like, yo, I'm comfortable with my sexuality, but my guy, like, I got mine in my hand and you got yours in your hand and you are unnecessarily a foot away from me. Like, what are we doing here? This is that to me. Instinctively, the cereal goes in, then the milk. What are we doing here? How is this even a thing? And good for Jason for putting Kelsey on blast for getting it wrong. You're wrong. And all of you texting right now, like texter that says, if I do cereal first, I put too much, then the last few bites are overly soggy. I take being weird, but the logic makes sense to me. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Is this a male-female thing?
See, I don't know.
I'm curious if the texture is female.
Well, no, because texture says, my wife doesn't mix cereal and milk until she eats it, pours cereal in a bowl, pours milk in a glass, eats a spoonful of cereal, then takes a sip of milk. Sir, I'm sorry to say, your wife's a psychopath.
Your wife's
crazy.
It's kind of weird. I don't know about
your wife's crazy. It's certifiably.
I mean, you know, be nice.
I am being nice. I could say way worse. Something, your wife needs a therapist, man. Wow. Texas said, what do you do if you finish your cereal and want more? Do you drink all the milk first and then pour fresh milk? No.
No,
you put the cereal back into the milk at that point. Then you put more milk over the top of it to level it out. I'm good with that. But the first bowl? What are we doing here? Rashad Beard next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Damn.
I think that's like your first one in 2 weeks.
That's my first one in a while.
Yeah.
First one in a while. That one hurt. It's all right. Even Gretzky missed a shot every now and then. Waiting on Rashad Beard to join us here, hopefully in just a moment from right now, to talk a little Carolina Panther football with us. While we do, I don't think I'm going to get myself in trouble here. And I've been told that I'm not. So I'm gonna trust him. We have discovered the identity of the individual whose wife.
Don't do that.
I'm going to do this. I am.
Dude, what is wrong with you today?
Many things. Most days, many things. But we have discovered the identity of the individual whose wife eats cereal and milk by taking a bite of dry cereal and then drinking a sip of milk to mix them together inside of the mouth hole. And I'm going to reveal the identity to all of you because it is a friend of the show, friend of the station, employee of the station, and friend of mine off the air and on, as well as I am friends with the wife of Alex Guest, host of the Saturday morning scramble during high school football season alongside Cole Price.
I just want you to know, Alex, I tried to discourage him from doing this.
What I am hoping here is that by putting the identity out there, maybe we can encourage better behavior, okay? Also, I'll have you notice that when I started the segment, he texted me in all caps, do it, all right? So I have permission here. It is the wife of Alex Guest that takes a bite of cereal and then to have cereal and milk then drinks a sip of the milk after that. When I said that on the show, he texted me and said, it's okay, the wife is a psychopath texter, it's okay, the wife is a psychopath texter was me, she can take the heat, but I agree, it's so weird. I said, did I just get banned from being friends with house guest? And he responded by saying, not at all, she knows it's weird, but she's one of those people that hates foods touching. Every time I see her eating cereal, I call her out on it. Now, I want to say that I also know people, more of them than people who pour the milk and then the cereal. But I do know people who, when they fix their plate of dinner, cannot have the foods touching. They can't have the foods touching. If it's like broccoli and fish, the broccoli and fish got to be on opposite sides. And I, to a degree, can understand that because all of us have our texture preferences and put-offs. It's understandable. However, you are eating cereal and milk and cereal. So that doesn't compute to me at all. That would be like, I would like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I'm going to take one slice of bread and put peanut butter on it. And then the other slice of bread and put jelly on it. And then I'm going to take one bite of the peanut butter bread and then one bite of the jelly bread. You're eating that. You are making the foods touch inside of your own mouth hole. So how does that make sense at all?
I kind of understand to a degree. Maybe she is a fan of the dry cereal, but dry cereal is, last time I checked, dry. So you need a little something to wash it down with, and what goes with cereal better than anything? That would be milk. So
then
you
put it in the bowl with the cereal.
I just kind of understand it. I mean, is there an etiquette to calling people out? Should you do that? Because we know people around here who are weird things that they do with food. And I don't know, they're calling them out on the air or even going, dude, what are you doing? That's weird. Why are you doing it? Do you do that? If someone does that, let's like say someone like puts individual ketchup on each fry, would you say something to that person?
I don't find that weird. You talk about taking the bottle of ketchup and being like,
like the packets of ketchup. Say you're out to eat somewhere and you get the little packets of ketchup. You pull out a fry and you put a little bit of ketchup on.
I don't find that that weird.
Fry.
I don't find that weird.
It's kind of weird.
I don't find it weird. And the reason why is I also know a lot of people who don't like their food touching foreign surfaces, right? So like there are some people that like, even though the standard, if we're talking like we went to a food joint, we got a burger and fries. The way it works for me is I unwrap burger wrapper, I lay it out as if it was a plate, then I pour the fries onto the wrapper.
Yeah, that's
right.
I mean, that's normal. That's what you do.
My wife does not do that. She leaves the fries in the fry container standing upright and she eats them straight out of that. And I'm like, that's just as likely to be as dirty as the inside of the wrapper. And to her, like, it's just a mental disconnect. She can't do it. Understandable, fine. That's not weird. And so the concept there is, if I put the ketchup, as I do, into a big mound on the inside of the wrapper for easy disposal later, and then I dip the ketchup through, then the ketchup is touching a place that I also don't want my fries to hit. I can understand that. That I get it. I don't agree with it. It's not for me, but I get it. I don't understand. I want cereal and I want milk, but I don't want the cereal to touch the milk until they touch the milk in my mouth. How? What is that, Mrs. Alex Guest? Who I love dearly, by the way, Taylor Swift heart hand emoji. I'm a big fan. But what is that? Like you are putting both of those things together anyway. You have just made it. Now for every bite of cereal, you have to do two actions, right? Like you have to take twice as, it must take you 30 minutes to eat a bowl of cereal. Because you got to go bite, set down spoon, pick up glass, take sip, let them mingle, and then chew. You are adding unnecessary steps that accomplish nothing.
That's the same reason why I have a problem with the fry thing. Because if you're in a hurry and that person has to put ketchup on every single fry, it takes forever, whereas you just put it down there and dip it in.
I don't disagree, but again, there's a reason to that. If you have a good reason for stretching it, like a good reason for stretching out a process, I understand.
Maybe she has a good reason for doing the cereal and milk that way. The way Kylie Kelsey does it, that just makes no sense at all. But this, I kind of get this.
This makes less sense than pouring the cereal into milk. This makes less sense than that. You are still putting the cereal and the milk in the same place. They are still touching. Like if you do the fish and broccoli example earlier and you don't like the textures together, it makes sense to separate them because you're going to take a bite of the fish and then you're going to take a bite of the broccoli or the asparagus or whatever. That's what I had for dinner last night. That's why it's on the brain. I used the Blackstone griddle. Mwah! That thing is fantastic.
Broccoli
fantastic.
A bunch of times.
Big broccoli guy. Yeah. We made asparagus spears and steelhead salmon last night on the new Blackstone griddle. Holy crap. Where has this been all my life?
The heads on the salmon?
No, I filleted them.
Okay. All right.
I filleted my own fish.
Oh, so you caught them and then you filleted
them. No, I didn't catch them, but I bought the whole fish and then I filleted them the way I wanted them.
What, did you go to like a fish market?
Yes, I did.
Do they have those around here?
Yes, they do.
Do they throw the fish?
No, it's not Seattle.
Well, I've never been to a fish market.
When I make, it's a seafood market, but yes, they have fish. You buy the fish whole, take them home.
So you went to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's?
Nope, I went to a seafood market.
Okay.
It's just a seafood market. That's all they have is seafood. It's
very,
fantastic.
Very hipster of you.
It's absolutely not. I grew up on a beach. So the thought here is, and Alex has texted me and said if she were awake right now, I'd tell her to call and explain herself. I'm half tempted to tell you, wake her up anyway. This deserves an explanation. I get the fish and broccoli
thing. I don't even know this person, and you guys need to leave her alone. I mean, you're mean people.
We're not. When people do things that make me question their role in society.
I like Alex. I don't want him getting in trouble. I don't want him getting in trouble.
I wouldn't be doing this segment if I didn't love Alex and Alex's wife. They're both amazing people. They were when I worked alongside them a couple of years ago, and then obviously have made friends with Alex through that and through the radio station. They have become two of my favorite people in the area. I text with Alex on a almost daily basis. I love the guy, and I like his wife more than I like him. But just because I love you doesn't mean I'm not going to question you're crazy. If I found out my little brother did this, I would treat him as if I was a Russian hostage negotiator. Bright light, handcuffed to the table, what is your problem? I would need to know because this makes less than zero sense to me. This makes negative sense.
Your brother turned out okay because all the things that you
said. Did he though? Did he though?
I think he did.
So
he also has better hair. I'm just
you
saying.
Are taking. You do the fish and the broccoli, the fish and the asparagus. I get that. You don't want those two textures mixing. You eat a bite of the fish, then you eat a bite of the asparagus. You're keeping them separate. That's fine. But you are taking cereal that you don't want to touch milk, and then you're putting the cereal in your mouth, and then without removing the cereal, you are putting the milk in your mouth. And what is the result of that? The cereal and the milk touching
in your
mouth.
Why did you just use Oompa Loompa cadence?
Because I don't think people understand, primarily you, how ridiculous this is. You don't want the cereal touching the milk.
Listen, I didn't say I would do it. I just said I kind of understand that. I just kind of do.
It's nothing more than concern for you. Like, I'm worried about you, if this makes sense to you.
Well, I am I'm a little more open-minded. It's supposed to be you. I try to see all the angles when I form an opinion on
something. Don't you do this superiority complex bullcrap? Absolutely not.
It's not. I try to put myself in that person's shoes.
Stop. Because I have one thing I can say to end that crap right now. One of us is called Liberob. If there is someone in this building.
That was my point, dude, that I'm more open-minded than you.
Building.
That was my point.
That accepts alternative lifestyles, welcomes
allegedly.
Them. Not allegedly, welcomes them to be in my circle. It's me, and this is my line. I have said for years, Lonzo, I let everyone live whatever life they want to live. I am a true conservative. I let you live your life without interference however you want to live it.
What if I want to live my life in your living room?
Except for one group of people, furries. It makes no sense.
Hey, leave the furries alone.
It makes no sense.
Man.
I will not. It makes no sense. You've gone too far, okay? I have now found the second group of people. And right now, it's not a group. It's just one person who I love and adore and think is a fantastic young lady. I'm a huge fan. But this is insane behavior. This is insane behavior. This makes no sense. The cereal, I don't want it to touch the milk. I don't want the milk to touch the cereal until I put them both in my mouth and they touch each other. What? What? What are we doing here? All right, Corn Chip just texted his thoughts. He said, to be fair, that's the best way to keep the cereal crunchy until you eat it, but absolutely, cereal goes in the bowl, then the milk.
Right, right. That's the whole thing, and I agree with him, and I agree with you. I'm just saying I think I understand why she does that. That's all I was saying, and now I'm a bad guy because I think I understand.
What kind of cereal are you people eating that you pour milk over it and it's like insta-soggy?
I think, you know, another thing people do is they'll pour the cereal, then pour the milk, and then do something else. You can't. That's not how cereal works.
Then wait.
That's how things get soggy. You know, my cereal don't get soggy because I eat it.
You know, if I put my steak on the grill and then I go do something else, the steak's burnt. Then wait. What the hell are we talking about here? Texas said, call them out, Rob. If they can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. My wife was so embarrassed when I told her you mentioned her lactose intolerance on the air. She's also purposefully taken a swig of Italian dressing straight from the bottle because she needed to get some other sort of taste out of her mouth.
That'll do it. That will. Yeah, that
makes more sense than the milk and cereal thing to me, honestly.
Did she shake the bottle first so you can get some of the stuff that's on the bottom?
Those herbs and stuff make it.
Yeah, and those will stay in your,
Bo, text the show, said, it's like eating mac and cheese separately. Noodles in first and then cheesy butter and milk mixture afterwards. It's craziness. Yes.
All right, No one does that.
Yeah, right. That's the point because it would be crazy.
Yeah, the cereal thing, it's possible because you have the people don't make the no that's a,
I like
that.
I like my pasta. I don't like it al dente where it's like a little bit sticky still. I like my noodles to stay separate. I don't want them to be like have that just that little bit of sticky to them, al dente as they call it. I like my noodles to be cooked. I let them boil an extra minute longer than I should when I make pasta.
Al dente means not done.
Correct.
That's what that
correct.
Means.
I don't like that. Yeah. I like my pasta. I let it boil an extra minute or two when I make pasta because I don't like it to have that sticky. The wife does. So whenever I make pasta, I like scoop hers out into the colander and then I leave mine in an extra minute or two so it's a little less sticky. What I don't do is go, I'm going to take a spoonful of pasta and then a spoonful of marinara and put that in my mouth and mix them together manually. No, just put the sauce on the spaghetti. Just put the cereal and the milk in the bowl. This is the weirdest segment I've ever done, and for some reason, I'm oddly passionate about it.
You will cook the sauce separate so people can, you know, sauce to their own level of sauciness.
But if anybody ever comes up to me and goes, Rob, can I have a plate for my pasta and a bowl for my sauce so that I can mix them manually in my mouth, I'm going to be like, get out of my house. No.
That would be like chips and salsa, kind of. I mean, you put a fork in a noodle and you dip it and it's just like chips and salsa, right?
No!
What's the difference?
We're late. We're late for a break. Lonzo hates when we're late for breaks. I'm ending this now. We're late for a break.
We're absolutely not late.
We're late. We're so late for a break. We are dramatically late for this break, so we're going to take it. We'll check with Rashad, see if we can get him in tomorrow.
We are not late, boss.
We are so obnoxiously late for the break. It's honestly, we should be disciplined. That's how late we are. So, we're going to run to a break. When we come back, Hayton Ass Mario from the BetMGM Network will join us. We'll talk a little NBA, a little NFL. We'll get his thoughts on this LeBron James interview from yesterday, his thoughts on the Sweet 16 games tonight and tomorrow. Then we got Fight Club, where we'll probably just talk about cereal, milk, pasta, and sauce at 9:20. And then whenever you guys want to wrap up the show, that is all after Lonzo, who pours his milk on top of his cereal like a normal person, does this sports flash.
Absolutely, I'm normal. I'm sure Mario will say nice things about LeBron. Today is Major League Baseball's opening day with 28 of 30 teams in action. The Brewers and Yankees will start the day at 3 with Toronto and Baltimore next up at 3:07. The Phillies and Nationals start NL East play at 4:05, and the Red Sox and Rangers also at 4:05. Paul Skeens gets the start for Pittsburgh against Miami at 4:10, and the Atlanta Braves will send Chris Sale to the bump at 4:10 to take on San Diego. Sweet 16 fires up tonight with one seed Duke taking on the four seed Arizona. John Shire announced yesterday that Malik Brown, who has not played since the ACC tournament, will probably play tonight. It's only three C's. I know it's two C's. Yeah. Anyway, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. And it's all Wire to Wire.